Good morning. Welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church this morning as, yes, we continue our green and growing season after Pentecost. I see that many of you out there are in red, white, and or blue. I tried blue socks, all right? But we continue to add our voices to those across time and space as we give thanks and praise to God, and it is good for us all to be together. Thank you for remembering that it's at 9:30, especially thank you who are with us online, because, you know, for those of you who are used to 8:30, it's a little bit later. For those of you who are used to 10:30, it's a little bit earlier. But it is good for us to be together, because today is July 4th, and we celebrate Independence Day also, along with the rest of the country. And I hope that we will all find ways to use the freedoms that we enjoy as citizens here to share the freedoms that we also enjoy as God's children. We have Sunday school bags. There are some in the back pew, so if there are children here, make sure they get one. If there will be children visiting you today, make sure that they get one. It is a way for them to see and remember and be reminded of how much it is God loves them. There are Sunday school bags. This Thursday, we continue our Bible study on the book of Acts. We meet in the parlor at 7 p.m. And so if you are interested at all, please join us Thursday evening for Bible study. We also want to say thank you to our new financial secretary. Joyce Fishbaugh jumped in and was willing to help us out. I also want to make sure that we say thank you once again to Barbie Cavolt for all of her years of dedicated service. It is a good and pleasant thing when God's people all work together and when we step up to help. And so thank you, thank you, thank you. We've gathered this morning to be in worship, to add our voices to those giving thanks and praise to God. So let us begin our worship by joining together in our opening hymn, O Beautiful for Spacious Skies. Let us rise and sing together. God of the covenant, in our baptism you call us to proclaim the coming of your kingdom. Give us the courage you gave the apostles, that we may faithfully witness to your love and peace in every circumstance of life. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen.
The first lesson is from the second chapter of Ezekiel, beginning with the first verse. A voice said to me, O mortal, stand on your feet, and I will speak with you. And when he spoke to me, a spirit entered into me and set me on my feet. And I heard him speaking to me. He said to me, Mortal, I am sending you to the people of Israel, to a nation of rebels who have rebelled against me. They and their ancestors have transgressed against me to this very day. The descendants are impudent and stubborn. I am sending you to them, and you shall say to them, Thus says the Lord God, whether they hear or refuse to hear, for they are a rebellious house, they shall know that there has been a prophet among them, the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The second lesson is from the 12th chapter of 2 Corinthians, beginning with the second verse. I know a person in Christ who 14 years ago was caught up to the third heaven. Whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know. God knows. And I know that such a person, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, was caught up into paradise and heard things that are not to be told, that no mortal is permitted to repeat. On behalf of such one, I will boast, but on my own behalf, I will not boast, except of my weaknesses. But if I wish to boast, I will not be a fool, nor I'll be speaking the truth, but I refrain from it, so that no one may think better of me than what is seen in me or heard from me, even considering the exceptional character of the revelations. Therefore, to keep me from being too elated, a thorn has been given me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to torment me, to keep me from being too elated. 3 times I appealed to the Lord about this, that it would leave me, but he said to me, "My grace is sufficient for you, for power is made perfect in weakness. So I will boast all the more gladly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may dwell in me. Therefore I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities for the sake of Christ. Whenever I am weak, then I am strong." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 6th chapter. Jesus came to his hometown, and his disciples followed him. On the Sabbath, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many who heard him were astounded. They said, "Where did this man get all of this? What is this wisdom that has been given to him? What deeds of power are being done by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joses, and Judas, and Simon, and not his sisters here with us?" And they took offense at him. Then Jesus said to them, "Prophets are not without honor, except in their hometown and among their own kin and in their own house." And he could not do a deed of power there, except that he laid hands on a few sick people and cured them. And he was amazed at their unbelief. Then he went about among the villages, teaching. He called the 12 and began to send them out 2 by 2 and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. He ordered them to take nothing for their journey except a staff, no bread, no bag, no money in their belts, but to wear sandals and not to put on 2 tunics. He said to them, "Wherever you enter a house, stay there until you leave the place. If any place will not welcome you and they refuse to hear you, as you leave, shake off the dust that is on your feet as a testimony against them." So they went out and proclaimed that all should repent. They cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and cured them. The Gospel of our Lord. May the freedom of God's love fill you all this day. Amen. If at first you don't succeed. Now, we've all heard that phrase before. We've probably all of us used that phrase before. You know, it ends, try, try again. I know that in my own life, there have been many firsts where I've been ready to go and I did not succeed. The very first time I preached a sermon, Stacy was there. It's a painful memory even for her. Woodridge, Illinois. I was assigned to a teaching parish there. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, Woodridge, Illinois. And that fall, it was the community Thanksgiving service. Generally speaking, it was whichever pastor was newest in town drew the short straw and had to preach. Well, they hadn't had a new pastor come there for a couple, 3 years. So Joseph and I, the 2 teaching parish guys, we got to draw straws and I lost. I had no idea what I was doing, all right? Teaching parish that time was I was in education, so I was supposed to be teaching catechism classes, right? I had no idea what I was doing. I was trying to be profound. I was awful instead. And afterwards, Stacy told me, she said, "It doesn't matter the words that you say. You have to believe what you're telling people. If you don't believe it, no one else is going to either." I cherish that comment, and I've kept at it. Then there was the first time I preached at my home church, at Gethsemane Lutheran Church, Maplewood, Minnesota. Oh, there it was. Now, I had done some preaching before on all the rest of that, and actually, the sermon was okay, you know? My mom liked it, but that's my mom, and most of her friends liked it, and most of the people liked it, but Al Madigan didn't like it. Al Madigan was the father of a friend and a classmate of mine. His son Todd and I had grown up together, gone to kindergarten all the way through ninth grade together, and he could not hear that sermon. He couldn't enjoy it. I was too close to his own son's age. Who did I think I was trying to tell him something about any of this? And he kept finding all of these small faults and all of these little things, and at the time I was crushed. But I actually cherish that conversation also. And I've kept at it. You see, if at first you don't succeed, we're supposed to try again. And when it comes to preaching, I do just that every week because Sunday's always coming and I get another chance to try to get it right. Now, the very last time I preached at my home congregation was a whole different story. They were doing a series that summer on King David. The senior pastor was going to be on vacation the week that I came in to do the preaching. So everyone was happy. They didn't have to find a supply pastor. They didn't have to do all kinds of things like that. I had gotten my assignment in the series on King David that they were going to do. So there it was. Right up until the point where the senior pastor decided he would rather preach on the passage I'd been given the week before. So he swapped the lessons without telling me. I sat down in worship about 5 minutes before everything was supposed to start, looked and realized that the reading for the sermon that day was not the one that I had prepared at all. Now, I had done research on King David, so it wasn't like all of the things that I had were completely gone, but there was a whole different point to the story. There was all kinds of different things like that. And so I prayed a lot right up until it was time to preach. And then I stood up and I preached. My mom loved it. Truth is, though, I could have stood up and read the phone book and my mom would have loved it. That's one of her mom powers. All right, there it is. But the thing is, the first three rows were all related to me by either blood or marriage, and they were okay with it. All of my mom's friends, all of the people who remember me when I was just this big, yeah, they, even Al Madigan liked it. He came up to me afterwards and told me that it was the best sermon in the series so far, and he was so glad that I had been there. You see, we try and we try and we try again, and it is God who is the one who helps us, who walks with us. And ultimately, it is God who succeeds, not me. You see, in today's gospel reading, Jesus is rejected at home. Now, I can't believe that there is anyone who could reject Jesus, but we read about it in this morning's gospel. Up until this point in time, still early in his ministry, Jesus has been traveling and teaching. He's been healing and helping and casting out demons. And now, Jesus is returning home. Now, I'm sure that there were some people who were excited that he was coming, his family for certain. Others were there wondering if Jesus was going to maybe set up shop in town. Would this newfound fame add to the luster of Nazareth? And what we read in the gospel is that the first place where we see Jesus is he went to his home congregation. And at that service, Jesus began to teach about God's love and forgiveness, about our call and our need to love one another. And at first, the congregation listened with rapt attention. They were astounded at what they were hearing. And then the spirit of Al Madigan sort of seeped in. Where did this guy get all of this? Who does he think he is? He's just one of us, nothing special here. They recalled his lack of formal training because he was a carpenter and not a rabbi. They insulted his parentage, and they remembered that his sisters and brothers were right there in town. They were nobody special, so Jesus can't be either. With that kind of reception, Jesus was unable to do the ministry that he was called to do. The animosity of the people stopped him in his tracks. But the ministry that he was doing is essential. The ministry was what Jesus had been sent down to earth for. It was to bring the love of God to the world around him. So if he was unable to do it, what Jesus did was he sent the disciples. That ministry of sharing God's love was so important. And the disciples, they were right there. They've been with Jesus. They've watched and seen. They've listened and learned. So Jesus sends them into the area around, into this area that was not willing to listen to Jesus himself. Jesus sends out the disciples so that they can bring the love of God. He sends them in pairs because it's not good for us to be alone. And he sends them simply. No heavy bags and no heavy agenda. Go, stay, proclaim, help. If they receive you, well and good. If they reject you, well, look what just happened to me. Jesus knew that rejection was possible, but Jesus also knew that success was possible because God was going to be with them. And so the disciples go. They succeed at times. They are rejected at times. But God is with them. We, all of us, we are sent out every day in ministry. We're sent out to try again. The world around us rejects Jesus, rejects the love of God, rejects the call to care for neighbors. Jesus, who has called us to follow him, has also sent us into the world to carry the love of God with us wherever it is that we go. Jesus sends us into the world so that our lives and actions reflect God's love and helps to build the kingdom of God around us. Now, if at first you don't succeed, well, in ministry, sometimes we succeed and sometimes we fail. And sometimes our efforts bear fruit and sometimes our efforts are rejected. Sometimes we are encouraged and other times we are defeated. This is life as followers of Jesus. But we are still loved and saved. Jesus still calls us to try. Jesus still sends us out to share the love. We are to be his hands and feet in the world, the care and intent to help that seeps into every corner of our world. Jesus never demands that we succeed. Jesus only calls us to follow and sends us out to share. We are only ever called to try again. The prophet Ezekiel also gives us encouragement today. He says, stand up, proclaim. God knows that the world around us can be hostile. But if we live our faith, as we share the love of God so richly given to us, we testify to the glory of God. The world may not accept us or believe us, but they will have witnessed the love of God anyway. That is all that God asks for. That is all that Jesus wishes for us, that we reflect the love of God always. That is our freedom as Christians, as children of God, and as followers of Jesus. We are free to try. Sometimes we try and the success breeds more success. Sometimes we try and we fail miserably and we struggle to stand up again. But we are free to try for the sake of our neighbor. That is our true freedom. I am already loved and cared for. You are already loved and cared for as individuals. What we do in our lives as children of God is not for ourselves. We're taken care of. What we do is for neighbor, in love and service, bringing the grace of God into their lives. Now we are free to discover new ways to do that every day. But we are also free to try to do it the way that's always worked for us all the time anyway. We are free to partner together. We are free to work with God's family and to walk with Christ. We are free to try whatever happens. We are free to try again. See, that is what we celebrate today, our freedom in Christ. But today we also celebrate the nation of which we are part that allows us to live that freedom every day. We celebrate our freedom from oppression and our freedom to care for the world. We celebrate our lives as Americans, as Lutherans, as Christians. And we commit our lives to bring the love of God with us wherever we go. So let's try. Let's try again. Amen. In celebration of our baptism, let us confess together our faith in the words we find in the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, His only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day He rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And now let us come before the triune God in prayer. God of all, through the waters of baptism, You claim people of all races, ethnicities, and languages as Your beloved children. Sustain the baptized and increase their faith that Your gospel may be proclaimed throughout the earth. Lord, in Your mercy. God of the heavens, Your creating spirit animates the universe. We give You thanks for the moon and stars, for the planets and the Milky Way galaxy, and for all of the mysteries of the cosmos that remain unknown to us. Lord, in Your mercy. God of freedom, You have liberated us from sin and death and rescue us from all forms of spiritual, social, and political oppression. Defend us from tyrants in our midst and deliver us from all forms of slavery or corruption. Direct our freedom for works of liberation and wholeness. Lord, in Your mercy. God of compassion, You became vulnerable in the person of Jesus Christ in solidarity with the disempowered. Strengthen those who feel faint, give courage to those who fear, and bring wholeness to those in need. Lord, in Your mercy. God of holiness, You send us out into the world to proclaim Your love. We pray for our outreach. Equip us as we leave this place to witness and serve our neighbors. Lord, in Your mercy. We give You thanks that in every time and place You call forth prophets who move us towards freedom. Thank You for those who work for human rights, for communities, and for all who strive for liberty for all. Lord, in Your mercy. O God of justice and Lord of all, You guide all creation with fatherly care. As we celebrate Independence Day, we recall the day when our country claimed its place among the family of nations. You reveal that those who work for peace will be called Your sons and daughters. Continue to send Your Spirit to touch the hearts and minds of all who cherish the rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And as You have called us to be one nation, grant that under Your providence our country may share Your blessings with all the peoples of the earth. Lord, in Your mercy, we lift our prayers to You, O God, trusting in Your abiding grace. Amen. O God of peace and freedom, You have set us free in this life so that we might serve one another and love You. We give thanks for this freedom, for Your love and forgiveness, Your truth and beauty. We give You thanks for our lives, which we now can live and share. Help us as we celebrate Your gifts and remember our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Be with us as we remember how on the night in which He was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to His disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is My body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of Me." Again, after supper, He took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in My blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of Me." From the gift that You have given us, we offer You this bread and this cup and proclaim the foundation of our faith, that Jesus is risen. God of peace and freedom, we call on You in gratitude and love. Send Your Holy Spirit upon this meal and on all who share in the body and blood of Christ. Strengthen our faith, increase our hope, and bring us at last to Your final feast. We come to this table in freedom. Be with us as we strive to make your vision our mission. As Christ has died to make us holy, help us live to make all free. As his resurrection gives us hope, help us to live that hope for all. In Jesus' name, we give thanks and praise. Amen. Remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. It is in love that our Lord Jesus came to save us, and it is in the spirit of that love that I bid you now come to his table of grace. As the body and blood of our Lord Jesus fills us with strength, we are also sent in love and service. And so together we pray, gracious and abundant God, you have done great things for us, and we rejoice. In this bread and cup, you give us life forever. In your boundless mercy, strengthen us and open our hearts to the world's needs. For the sake of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen. I hope you have a wondrous day. I hope you remain cool and just have all kinds of fun as you go into the world with hope.
That's what we do. You've been listening to St. John's Lutheran Church, 120 West Water Street, Sydney, Ohio. May God's glory abide with us today. May the love of God be increased within us and extended towards our fellow worshipers. Welcome, children of God. We invite you to return and worship with us again.